I'm fresh from Southern California as well as Northern California. Spoke in both Southern California and Northern California this weekend. And one of the subjects that I broached was the subject of evolution. And I used as show and tell an article in the Weekend Journal of the Wall Street, a newspaper. The Wall Street Journal has a picture of Charles Darwin, which is about the same size as a picture of God. And the article is titled Man versus God. And I thought it was a particularly poignant article. I'll talk about that in just a moment. But I think poignant because James Watson, who was a Nobel Prize winner, also well known as the co-discoverer of the destruction of the structure of DNA, made a statement, and it's worth repeating. If you don't think you're in a war, this statement might change your mind. James Watson, again, Nobel Prize winner, co-discoverer of the structure of DNA, says, and I quote, "Charles Darwin will eventually be seen as a far more significant figure in the history of human thought than either Jesus Christ or Muhammad." Let me repeat that. Again, from not some wild-eyed liberal that everybody knows is crazy, but by someone who won the prestigious Nobel Prize, someone who is co-discoverer of the structure of DNA, who writes, "Charles Darwin will eventually be seen as a far more significant figure in the history of human thought than either Jesus Christ or Muhammad." Now, I want to point out as I make my comments here that it shouldn't surprise you that pagan intellectuals write or think like this. They're pagans. They're exercising their job description. The problem is that their message is heard by multitudes because we haven't given, as Christians, a reasonable answer. In other words, we haven't exercised our job description, which is to be ambassadors. As I've quipped from time to time, most of us are secret agents who have never blown our cover before the unregenerate world. But back to the article, Man versus God. On the one hand, you have Richard Dawkins. If Thomas Huxley was Darwin's bulldog, Richard Dawkins has been aptly described as his Rottweiler. But he says this, and this is a summary of the article. "Evolution is the creator of life. It's the greatest show on earth, the only game in town. Evolution is God's," listen to this, "evolution is God's redundancy notice, his pink slip. God is not dead," says Dawkins. "He was never alive in the first place." Now, that's the Darwinian evolutionary point of view. And of course, this is a pro-con. You have on the one side the Darwinian evolutionist. On the other hand, you have the one who supports the notion of a creator. And in that particular corner stands Karen Armstrong. Now, what does she say? Well, she says, "What of the pain that Darwin unveiled? What of the death and racial extinctions that he exposed? What of callous cruelty and evolutionary waste?" Here's her answer. "The notion of God, like any good myth, is a coping mechanism. A coping mechanism so that we can endure pain and sorrow in an arbitrary world controlled by natural selection. Of course, her point is not that God is real. The idea is that a belief in God can help you deal with the pain and waste that Darwin unveiled. Now think about that for a moment. The Bible is nothing more than a psychology book that can help you cope with the evolutionary process. Now, all of this, by the way, is being said in an age of scientific enlightenment in which the fossil record says no to evolution. It's being communicated in an epoch of time in which ape men, fiction, fantasies, and frauds abound. It's being communicated in a time in which the notion of design without a designer is ever more untenable. In an epoch of time in which empirical science explodes the myth of Darwinian evolution. Now, I'm careful with my words here because as Christians, we certainly believe in microevolution, changes within kinds. But the notion that a lizard becomes a bird is singularly untenable in an age of scientific enlightenment. My point in all of this is simply to say that we are in the midst of a battle, a war, and it is crucial that you as a believer are equipped to give a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. We have this notion that science is the child of secularism. That is false. Science could have only arisen within a Christian worldview. The secularists could have come up with alchemy, but not chemistry, with astrology, but not astronomy. The notion that secularism birthed science is simply false. And as Christians, we are commanded to know how to answer those who are leading our children and our children's children astray. Not bloviating, but giving an answer with gentleness and with respect, and using our well-reasoned answers as springboards or opportunities to share the grace and truth and love that only the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence can afford to the human heart. Now, all of that to say, we have some of the most incredible resources available at the Christian Research Institute so that you can be equipped. One of them I talked about in the last couple of weeks, Darwin's Dilemma. It's a DVD. It's spectacular. But we have a whole bunch of resources like that. You can sit in the privacy of your home and watch these DVDs and be equipped. In fact, it's fun. It's easy. And you don't have to leave the answers to the hired gun. Well, he can do that, or she can do that. No, you can do that, because your child may well come home with a question. And even if you can't answer the question, watch the DVD with them. Privileged Planet, Case for a Creator, Darwin's Dilemma. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Know what you're talking about. Use your well-reasoned answer as the greatest of all opportunities, the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to move through you in the process of touching another life for time and for eternity.